D3. Number 6A.
Now, you see, when we are speaking about the practice of these synonymous terms on the level of divine science, I think we always should be clear about the science of treatment. Because the individual cases may be infinite, so to say, but every science tries to reduce the infinite to simplicity. Now, actually, we can reduce the whole practice of Christian Science to four fundamental points. Namely, in every treatment is involved first a practitioner, so-called, second, a treatment, which that practitioner gives, third, a patient to whom that treatment should apply, and fourth, the result of it or the healing of it. Now, in every case, no matter what the case is, those four points are involved. Now, in Christian Science, we are not dealing with material elements, nor with material proposition or personal proposition. Therefore, these four offices must have a divine sense. And here we feel that the divine sense is just this, that the Word is always the practitioner, the Christ the treatment, because it's divine message from God to men. And Christianity, with the focal point on men, is always the true patient. And that the proof of the whole pudding is the healing science. So those four sides of the holy city are really symbolizing not only the principal structure of being, but also the method of practice. To see that not the person is the practitioner, that the one self-existent life, that one infinite individuality of life, ever-present life, is the practitioner. And this is such a comfort that then we feel not I as a person, I'm a practitioner, but life itself, the self-existence life itself, is the practitioner. That isness of life, which neither sleeps nor slumbers, is the practitioner. So that I have a feeling that no matter if I think of the patient or don't think of the patient, if I'm at work or if I'm asleep, no matter, life is the practitioner. And that is working the whole day around, 24 hours. It's the isness of being. So that I feel a wonderful, great, divine practitioner is doing the work. And that practitioner gives a treatment, that one life has a truth. It has a self-expression of itself. And I feel, therefore, that one life is giving the biggest, the best treatment ever known, namely the one truth, truth itself. We know that truth is what we have to know in a treatment. So here, let life know the truth, and the one and only and the whole truth. And so we feel that we don't have to worry and query, do I know the truth? What is the truth? How shall I know the truth? Did I actually know the right truth? Here the peace and rest comes always on us, which we feel. And that life is the one truth, and that's the biggest treatment. And I feel that therefore the patient is not a person, but that the true patient is really Christianity, is really love, is really fulfillment, a fulfilled sense of being. That I don't have to treat a patient. but that I demonstrate the divine origin, that I demonstrate not the patience, but the perfection and completion of being, love. And the result is science, principle, love, principle operating in an infinite plane, and therefore demonstrating that which principle intends to demonstrate. And so in this way I can take away everything from me, that whole burden that I have to pull the case through, and let God operate in its own way. God being the practitioner, God giving a treatment, God being the true patient, God giving the right proof. These are the four. And this releases me from that sense of having to make a demonstration. This releases me of the responsibility to make a demonstration, to achieve something, and to achieve that which the patient wants me to achieve. So, all that therefore we, from the human standpoint, have to do is to accept that enormous willingness and conscious willingness and conscious acceptance that is going on and nothing else. That life, truth, love, as the principal love, is going on all the time, under every circumstance, at every place, and in a most effectual way. And so in accepting that, and accepting that, and accepting that, somehow, little by little, things begin to move, and one begins to feel, I am it. I am life being. I am truth being. I am love being. I am principle love being. And one doesn't have any more so much a sense that one has to do something to something outside of oneself, to demonstrate something outside of oneself, but that God being is really practice. Now, we go to the next category, or next level, to absolute Christian Science. The moment we come to absolute Christian Science, the whole attitude actually changes. The whole problematic of that level is a different one than on divine science. We have seen that on the level of absolute Christian Science, thought is engaged in computing the relationships which exist within the one being. And therefore being able to compute specific truths so as to meet specific errors. So here, instead of, say, taking the analogy of mathematics, instead of seeing that there is just one mathematics, here we begin to compute within the realm of mathematics and compute very specific ideas within that whole field. Which means that those big terms of life, truth, and love are put in different combinations, that they are computed in various ways. And so you will see on this level that those synonymous terms of life, truth, and love are united or related in different ways and different means. You have there, you see, in the word life, truth, and love, in the Christ another combination, namely truth, life, and love, so they are the same synonymous terms, but in another order, therefore another calculation. In love, in Christianity, you have life and love. I tell you why there is no truth. And in science, truth and love, I show you why there is no life there. So you can see that now, absolute Christian Science is now beginning to take those great concepts of one life, one truth, one love, and combines them infinitely and in specific ways in order to bring out very definite ideas of life, truth, and love. Mrs. Eddy gives this differentiation between divine science and absolute Christian science when she explains that New Jerusalem in the chapter on the Apocalypse. When she speaks about divine science, she speaks about the city four square. Four square. Well, from you, four square like this, huh? A square. It shows the one being embraced, and it has no loopholes, so to say. It's all embracing. It's a what one calls a closed system. Everything is comprised in it. But when she speaks on the level of absolute Christian science, she speaks about the four cardinal points of the city and explains those four cardinal points. And she says, first cardinal point is the word of life, truth, and love, just as we have it here. The word of life, truth, and love. You see what she is indicating there? Is this, that instead of having the city four square, she gives the four cardinal points like this. Up is the word, here. Well, from your side, up here. Here. The Christ, Christianity, over here, science, from you. See? But this is the cardinal points, as you have in a compass. But you know that a compass only gives the four cardinal points in order to compute all the variations within the north and the east. And it gives the northeast or the north, northeast, and so has 360 degrees, and each degree 60 seconds, and so on and so on. Meaning that this here gives us an open system, because all is open, all the possibilities of calculating is open. And so she can see that in absolute Christian science, we begin to combine and to interrelate these great synonymous terms with each other to bring out always something new, specifically new. So here it is that point of absolute Christian science where we compute with those absolute factors, either of the synonymous terms of life, truth, and love, or with their absolute ideas of life, truth, and love. And our whole consciousness is at that point computing, relating ideas with ideas. It is absolute. It is there to define infinite combinations and calculations of spiritual values. Now, what do those synonymous terms mean here? See, we come again to life, truth, and love, but as we have seen, they are on an other level. Therefore, their place value must be a different one. And therefore, life will be no more the one life, will no more be the one infinite individuality, will no more be the law of ever-presence or the self-existence of being, as we had it on divine science. Now, when the relationship between principle and idea has to be stated, when therefore the impulse of the principle to express itself as idea must be stated, then life here becomes a very different thing. Namely, then we have life here as that which has the drive of life. See, now we get that sense that no more that resting sense of the one life, that peaceful, one resting sense of the one life as in divine science, now we feel that if it has to bring forth infinite computations of ideas, that therefore that one life must be like a well of life, like the source of life, pouring forth, pouring forth, pouring forth, pouring forth new ideas. And so we get here a different sense of life and of truth and of love. What different sense? I want to go through them, because Mrs. Eddy must have seen something very big in them, because she said at the beginning of that sixth chapter where she speaks about how what has been revealed to her, she says, in the year 1866, I discovered the Christ science, or the divine laws of life, truth, and love. So Christ science, you see, absolute Christian, Christ science is really absolute Christian science. Christ science gives us the laws of life, truth, and love. Have you ever thought what are the laws of life, the laws of truth, the laws of love? Or have you just felt there are laws of life, there are laws of truth, there are laws of love? Have you asked ourselves, what are they? Now, as far as we can see from the study of the synonymous terms, here we get life, or the laws of life, as the law of newness. See, the newness of life. So we get a different shading of life. The newness of life. Where, you see, can you keep that pedal note in your ear? Everything that is now shown here is showing how a synonymous term expresses itself in infinite ways, in infinite new ways, because it has an infinite open system, infinite calculations, can always bring forth something specifically new. So the pedal note, the spiritual pedal note, you know what the pedal note is, you see, that tone that just goes through, that keeps somehow, it's somehow what you can call the hum that goes through, that keeps you, and you weary, but the hum, I think, of the whole thing is still there. I'm not a musician, but I think that somehow I could explain it. So let's have that pedal note, that hum, which always says, what happens when those synonymous terms express themselves as infinite ideas of those synonymous terms? Well, life says then, I express myself always new. I'm the newness of life. Every moment is new. Did we ever believe that? No, when something goes wrong, we always go back to the old, to the past. What did I do wrong? Why did this happen to me? What is the cause of it? Why should it happen to me? Can you see that we go to the past instead of the instantaneous newness at every moment? Can you see the law of life in absolute Christian science, which says, am I allowed to swear here or not? I don't care a damn thing what has happened in the past. Is that too bad? No. Well, Jesus didn't use a very, very nice language sometimes with those Pharisees. So why shouldn't we use them? Why shouldn't we use them? Sometimes a bit of strong language with error. Why on earth should we ever go back to the past? If life says, I'm the law of life, I'm the newness of life. If there is newness of life, it means instantaneousness of life. law of life is the law of instantaneousness, of immediateness. Therefore, no problem can be solved by looking back, by looking into the past, by finding the cause in the past. This is not absolute Christian science. This is psychology. This is ordinary metaphysics, but not science. Science says principle is life, and principle is expressing itself always anew. It's the newness of life. Every instant is completely new from the origin of life, and not new as the result of the past. The today is not the effect of the past, and the tomorrow is not the effect of the today. In absolute Christian science, I always am there at every split second where I feel what is past and has no effect on me whatsoever. The only thing that has any effect on me is that stream of life, that well of life, coming from life, that inspiration of life, the newness of life, which comes right from the source of life and which is bringing forth constantly something new. Every moment, something new. Here I can really put away the whole burden of the past. I don't have to criticize myself, nor to accuse myself, nor do I have to expect a penalty for what I have been doing in the past. All that is not absolute Christian science. Absolute Christian science is that consciousness that every split second, the immediateness of the whole of life is flowing unto me, is really projecting itself into every detail of my life and of the whole world. I have that wonderful sense of life as the law of life, as spontaneity. Here we have the law of spontaneity. It's no more the law of causality, where cause determines effect. In absolute Christian science, I have the law of spontaneity. In the law of spontaneity, everything happens spontaneous, immediate, without any cause bringing it forth. It is the law of mutation. The law of life is the law of mutation. You know, mutation is the sudden change in any development, the sudden breaking in of something completely new, which is not the result of the preceding period. Mutations come in the material, in the biological, and in the spiritual. That's where something completely new starts. Starts from the origin of life and does not start from the past. Neither from the good of the past nor from the bad of the past. It comes right from the horse's mouth. Yeah. Right from there. So that one feels there is a constant stream of life just pouring down and pouring down and you more than what we can accept. I always think when I think about life in absolute Christian science, I always think of the Niagara Falls. There it just pours down and pours down. You think, will it never stop? No, it never stops. How much can I how can I receive just a tiny little part of all that comes down? Well, that's life. That Niagara Falls. That's the way how the infinite life just pours down on me, not asking, did you merit it? Is it according to your works or not? It's grace. It's the law of grace, the law of life. It's the law of progression. It's not the law of progress. It's the law of progression. therefore, of multiplication. It's that law where always something goes on in a multiplying way, not just in a progressive way, but in a multiplying way, in a progressive way. It's really the law of abundance of life, the law of the self-maintenance of life, the self-provision of life. It's the self-provision of life. Life just pouring forth and pouring forth and pouring forth and pouring forth. So, if we get that sense established in consciousness, then one constantly feels that I don't have to call down the blessing, and that the nature of life itself is that it does express itself constantly as newness, as immediateness, instantaneousness, as multiplication, as mutating, as abundance, as fullness, as newness. All that is constantly going on. It's only a matter of consciousness to accept it. And not to say, do I see it? Is that so? Can I prove it? The moment we put forth these questions, we have left the standpoint. We have missed the whole thing. All what we can do is to accept it, and accept it, and then we conceive it. It becomes us, and then it grows on us, and becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. What are the laws of truth in Absolute Christian Science? The laws of truth, if we keep that hum of the pedal note that it wants to express or show the relationship of how truth expresses itself as infinite ideas of truth, we find here that truth is the law of self-realization. Truth realizing itself constantly in infinite way. The truth realizing itself in infinite truths. Here we have the plural. Truth realizing and demonstrating in itself in specific truths. See, we still have that infinite computation going on, where we are not contemplating just the one truth as in divine science, the all-embracing truth itself, but here now we have the infinite computation and we see that truth realizes itself, demonstrates itself as infinite specific truth. So it's the law of self-demonstration, it's perhaps the law of self-application, of self-affirmation, it's the law of self-revelation. See how truth comes to consciousness as the revelation of what truth is.